welcome to tonight's edition of the Don and Wynn Show. My name is Winfrey, and I thank you all for tuning in and listening. And Don is somewhere under the table soldering some wires. So, as usual, he's not as usual. He's been pretty good the last few shows. But he's not here right now. And so whenever he does this, I never know what to do, because if I start something, he'll come in and interrupt it, and then it'll be a whole different flow. And if I don't start anything, it's like I got all you guys on the line listening to us and wondering, what do we do now? Why isn't he starting? So maybe I'll just try to start something short, all right? I'll just make it short. I'll talk about my conference line or whatever. Some of you have been checking into the conference line that we're doing Mondays at 6:30 on BBS, and that has been really successful. Those of you that are on the Donna Wynn Show and enjoy the calling in of the light that we do at the end of the show, well, the conference line is like an hour of that energy. And people that are checking in are having phenomenal experiences. Everything from personal growth and changes to miracles of healing. So if you're one of those people that feels disconnected and wants to plug in somewhere where you can feel energy, or if you're feeling connected and you want to let other people plug into your connection and have some extra energy, the conference line is a place to do it, because we create a group energy on that line. And go to my website, and you'll get the information on how to check into it, which is higher-vision.org. And while you're there, there's an email there. Just say, I'd like to request a ebook of questions and answers with the Elohim, and we'll send it to you. The current, what I call the inside scoop from outside this dimension. Also, check into my new website. I put a website up, which is a half-hour compilation of all the things that have happened to me in the last 5 years, including real interviews with people, real excerpts from channelings, an interview with my sister that had her healing. Don, are you on the line yet? No. Okay. I'll keep doing my commercial then. An interview with my sister, some old clips from the Don and Wynn Show, where girlfriend X suddenly made an announcement that she was bringing through a message. You can just hear the spirit. It kind of encapsulates the whole story in one little half-hour CD that has all kinds of little excerpts that transcend the idea that it didn't really happen, because it did, but it kind of proves it. Don, are you on yet? We have a guest on the line, but I don't want her to introduce her until you are here. Okay? All right. Next commercial. The reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. of course, I'm the principal author.
I apologize for that, folks. Sorry to break in on you. I'll be
okay.
Ready here in about three more minutes. A few more minutes, and I'll be on with you, folks. Just
all right.
Yeah,
I'm just doing commercials. So I'm not going to start with our guest until you're on. Okay,
you got it. I'll be back in a few moments.
Okay.
Thank you.
So now, continuing with my commercial, the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. Probably most of you know who Edgar Cayce is. If you don't, he died in 1945, and he was America's most famous, recognized, credible psychic in history. And he could read past lives, he could diagnose diseases, and he never remembered a word of what he said. And when he died, his children opened up a library of his 15,000 readings, and there's 500 books written about him until now. And I've written a book, David Wilcock is my co-writer, that essentially proves David is Cayce back in a body. It's close as you can get. The circumstances are billions to one. Billions to one, tying David to Casey. But more than that are the messages from this group soul that spoke through Casey and allegedly spoke through Wilcock, who identifies itself by the name Ra. And if you go to my website, caseysback.com, you can read a little more about it. What's most important about this book, and this is seriously important, is that Ra is a principal oversoul for our planet. They have been looking over mankind's shoulders for tens of thousands of years. They're probably the force that's behind Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, behind many of the religions of the world, behind the Hopi prophecies, the Mayan calendar. They've been speaking to a lot of people throughout the history of the world. And now, in the reincarnation of Edgar Casey, they are speaking to you in current time. And they're actually explaining what's happening on our planet in ways that many of you may have never heard before in respect to something they call a dimensional shift, which means that we're at the end of a 75,000-year cycle, and there's a shift in paradigms from what you could call third chakra to fourth chakra, and there's going to be things happening over the next 10 years that have never, ever happened in the history of mankind. So if you would like to know what's going to be happening, you'll be in the forefront if you read The Reincarnation of Edgar Casey. And, of course, those of you who have been tracking me know that while I was writing the book, 2 years into it, suddenly I had a girlfriend that started channeling, and I had a voice talking to me, and I started asking all these questions and kind of confirmed by a second source that all the information in my book was the same as this second source was giving me through my girlfriend. And when she left me, another girlfriend started channeling, and I now have a third source continuing the same dialogue. So I might have it wrong, and maybe I even have a negative source. You have to decide that. But I don't think so. There's too many positive results that have been happening around this experience. And I have people, there's a religious science minister, Beverly Craig, that said the most important book in contemporary spirituality concerning the reincarnation of Edgar Casey. It is available at Amazon. It's available at Barnes & Noble. And it's also available at my website. And those of you that want to give support to what I'm doing, appreciate it if you get it at my website or from this 800 number, 800-345-NOOK. Now, for those of you that are listening for the first time, I usually never talk about this stuff. I never do commercials. I never talk about my conference call. I'm taking this opportunity to just fill up the time while we're waiting for my co-host, Don Newsom, who is under the table somewhere. Of course, Don is the founder of BBS.
I'm right here,
and,
folks.
And he is very busy. He is running two shows at the same time. How many hours a day? 10 hours a day, Don?
It's all fun.
Huh?
It's all fun.
How many hours a day?
It's a little bit. Bear with me. I'm adjusting a few things here.
10 hours a day?
Yeah, you know, it can be quite a bit, actually, to be honest with you.
Your voice is a little fuzzy, okay?
All right. How's that? Is that a little better?
That's a little better.
Okay.
Not much.
Hold on. We'll make it a bit more. Sound better now?
You need more treble.
More treble? How's that?
That's better. Even more.
More? All right. How's that? A little better?
That's better, yeah.
All right.
So, Don, would you do your, like...
I'm going to be back in 2 more minutes now that I... But
you're not gonna do your apology yet? You're gonna take 2 more minutes?
I'm gonna take 2 more minutes and I'll be right back.
Okay. So continuing with my commercial, The conference call we've been doing, if you've been following my little dialogue up till now, here I am talking and writing this book, and I'm introducing this group soul, Ra, that has been an oversoul for our planet and a helper for mankind from the other side for millenniums. And so I have another group soul, not the Ra group, but another group soul, channeling to me through two girlfriends in a row. And finally, what happens is that I'm trying to figure out how to use this for the benefit of other people. One of the things I noticed during this experience is that when we would channel, there would always be this, what I would call, light energy in the room. I could feel a shift in the space. And then I found out that I could kind of do this long distance. Somebody else was on the phone, even 3,000 miles away. If we could get into the zone and they were channeling, that energy would be in our space. And I recognized that energy. I had been to many spiritual gatherings in my life. And I said, geez, this is the same energy that I used to feel in all these gatherings. And then in conversations with the Elohim, they said, yes, that's us beaming into your space. And so I said, geez, they can beam into my space. They can beam energy from wherever they are. Of course, as far as I'm concerned, they're visible. They're way out there. They're in another, way out in another dimension. But here they are. They're talking to me. And while they're talking, they're beaming energy into my space.
Okay. I'm back for good. It seems we have not been able to get... We have a system that's having a little problem. So,
okay,
for those...
Let me just finish one thing, okay? And then I'll just... Since I started... So they're beaming energy into our conference call. Those people that are sensitive, that are tuning in, are feeling the energy all over the world when we do these calls. So I say, if you want to check it out, think of it as an experiment. You can listen to one on Monday at 6:30 on VBS Radio, because we put it out live on VBS. So wherever you are on the planet, if you have internet, you can listen to this call. So, Don, are you there?
I'm here.
Now, what are you doing exactly?
Well, how do you mean?
Listen, I'd like to introduce my co-host, Don Newsome, and he's going to apologize for being late.
I am, I?
Well, I can't force you. Free will, right?
That's right.
You see that? I'm trying to trick you. I'm taking away your free will, and you didn't go for it.
No, I don't go for it.
Can't take away Don's free will.
No, you can't do it. That's right.
Well, would you like to say anything to our audience tonight?
Hello, good to be with you. I, I actually had something that I was doing earlier, and it's unfortunate it took me away for a few minutes. Mm-hmm. But let's get this show started, my friend.
Well, very good. We have a really interesting person to talk to tonight, Don.
Excellent.
Her name is Linaya. And
beautiful name.
Somebody sent me an email that said she was giving a talk in Los Angeles next week.
Right.
Or some workshops. And I read about her, and I felt a resonance with her when I read it. And so I called her, and I chatted with her, and I was right. We have a resonance. There's a connection between what she does. Now, who wants to talk to her again? Tell me the way. Go ahead. You go ahead and answer the phone.
Are we taking calls right away, or?
Well, we really shouldn't.
Okay. Caller? Sorry, but we're not taking calls right away.
Can you get that, please?
Thanks.
Yeah.
Just tell them we're not taking calls for now. All right.
So, Linaya, are you there, I hope?
Hi, yes, I'm here.
Linaya, I'm Wynn. I'd like to introduce you to Don. And...
Well, hi, Linaya.
Hi, Don. How are you doing tonight?
Yeah, I'm doing good. It's a pleasure. Thank
Great.
You.
Thanks for having me on the show.
Oh, it's a pleasure to have you.
Now, Linaya does workshops. And, you know, in some level, she's connected with interdimensional forces. I think she channels. I'm not sure. I know she has a really powerful intent. And I thought, Linaya, if I ask you the question, How did you go from being a normal human being to being a wacko?
Oh, that's a great question. And, you know, when we all start waking up, we often do feel, you know, am I going crazy or is this real or, you know, who am I in all of this? And I love that question. So you want to hear a little bit about my wake-up call?
Yes.
Okay.
Because I think, you know, when you're introducing yourself to people for the first time, some of this stuff is so far out. And if you start saying what you're doing and how you're doing it without starting to let people know how it knocked on your door and how it made itself real to you, you know, people have a harder time connecting with it.
Well, so, thanks. And it's so valid. And actually, I love talking about my wake-up call because it's such a proof of, through my story that I'm going to share in just a second, that each one of us has such a jewel within ourselves. We have a perfected aspect to ourselves that if we can only just get in touch with it and do the consciousness work and clear out the fears and the things that aren't working, we find that there is an amazing aspect to ourselves that is hugely wise and universal, connected, and we begin to discover more about who we are. So I had a really quick wake-up call that required a lot of me. I was in Tokyo, Japan back in 1986, and I was married to an international banker and didn't even know what the word metaphysical meant. I was completely non-conscious, brought up Catholic, but not practicing, and just out there in the world where I believed that life was a struggle, love was an illusion. I had been married for about 13 years, and we had a lot of nice things, you know, me being married to an international banker and so on, but I was really unhappy, and to tell you the truth, I was really comfortable in my unhappiness, as so many people that are, you know, not awake, they become comfortable in that way and don't even question the fact that we can empower ourselves. So I lay that as a baseline, and that's where I was at, 32 years old, and I had a really funny thought go through my mind. In the kitchen in Tokyo, Japan, as an expatriate wife, my husband at the time was an international banker, and feeding my two little girls, age, I think, 1.5 and 3, in their high chairs, 5:30 in the afternoon with their little, you know, sippy cups and all that stuff flying around the kitchen. And in the middle of all of that activity, I had a really funny thought go through my head. And that thought was, and I felt a shift happening in the top of my head as this thought went through. And the thought was, I wonder how long my life is going to go on like this. And I wonder how long I'm going to be here. And at that instant, and it wasn't a suicidal thought at all. It was a thought that just kind of popped in from nowhere. And at that moment, I had a physical sensation of the top of my head unzipping right down to the bridge of my nose. My head felt as if it opened, and I could feel it. And my whole life force left my body. Everything went dark. It felt like a shot back or something sucking out of the top of my head. In an instant, then, I believe I was out for a while. As we know, time and space are an illusion, and I've come to learn that we can bend space and time. So I probably was out for quite a while, but in this Earth moment, when my essence came back in my body, I saw it spiraling back in a huge golden tornado cascade of energy, and I sat down on the floor before I fell down, and from that moment on, my entire life changed. I felt larger than a mountain. I was just laughing, feeling like a huge 20-foot tall golden being, and I had some instant gifts that showed up. Some things like being able to read future probabilities when my husband came home, and I said, oh, this thing happened to me. Sit down and ask me a question. And I said, I can read this probability around you with this person. And all these things happened. So he realized that I hadn't lost a marble, that something quite clearly had shifted within me. And at night, I sat home, or sat up after I put the children to bed and everyone was asleep. I sat up almost for the entire night for a two-week period of time, just experiencing all of the new gifts and abilities that I had, which included being able to read and see energy fields. When I touched someone, I could read an emotional, you know, program that was in their body. I began to interact with my own past lives and having flash-ups of who I am, not only within past lifetimes, but within my galactic or universal experience. And I had some really unusual healing abilities showing up immediately that I began to experiment with. So that was a really radical wake-up call that required a lot of me because it was so quick and so fast. And I have to tell you, a lot of people, you know, might be thinking right now, well, wow, you know, wasn't that really scary? And the thing that
let me just play this back.
Okay.
In one instant, in one short experience, your whole holographic field changed.
That's exactly right.
Okay? Because mm-hmm. I've never heard that before.
Well, I have actually spoken to a couple of friends. Actually, there's one gal that comes to mind that is I have memory with, and we're both working with the galactic fleets and so on through the Science and Exploration fleet. She's a code master as well. And that's a part of what makes me tick here. And I believe that my DNA was coded and a flip was switched with that code word, I wonder how long I'm going to be here, where I had a master code that went on that allowed me to experience consciously in this body more of who I am. So, yes, it was very unusual.
So to play it back, I mean, what I'm hearing is that your DNA was all in line, and you needed this experience to light the fire of your DNA. And then once it was like turning on a switch, once you had it, it stayed on.
Well, yes, I would say that's mostly accurate. We know that the DNA right now, there's a lot of what the scientists are calling junk DNA. And the through our higher states of awareness and higher consciousness, when we embrace love and light and all those, you know, great kinds of emotions and feelings, that the light quotient now is what is actually going into the DNA and switching on what was then dormant. So that wasn't exactly what happened with me. It happened in a roundabout way, but that's something that's happening with all of consciousness now, all of humanity, I should say. And I believe, again, through the unique mission that I have and the uniqueness of who I am, what makes me tick, is that there was a master sequence that was switched on through that signal that gave me an availability to open up my DNA, to open up the codes so that I could experience, and am continuing, of course, to experience a higher state of consciousness, awareness, ability to heal and communicate.
Mm-hmm. So how long did it take after you had this experience before you shared it with other people, or you did some kind of way to manifest this directly, consciously, with others?
I'm sorry, could you rephrase or just repeat the question? I want to make sure I understand it.
Well, you had an experience, and what year did you have the experience?
It was 1986.
In 1986, you had an experience of an awakening, like what everyone would describe as an immediate enlightenment experience, and it stayed, and I guess it's gotten even more cohesive over time. But at what point did you feel confident enough in your own experience that you could manifest it with someone else, or share it with someone else, or teach someone else, or do a class?
Mm-hmm.
But that's what you do now.
Sure.
Yeah, so how did you learn you were supposed to do that?
Well, there's a lot in that question, and I will say that instantly, through the abilities that came online, I was interacting with life in a completely different way. People that I came in contact with, I had an ability to assist and help immediately. Of course, as with any new talent and ability, the more you exercise that muscle, so to speak, the more the talent develops. And I certainly have gone through a huge evolution with that. So I did have an instant abilities to work maybe from a more open mind psychic standpoint to assist people with looking at their life from a higher perspective, you know, looking at the future probabilities, I call them.
So, but my question is, what was the first step? What is the when, like, you had this ability, you were married to a wealthy banker.
Right.
And you were in Japan,
uh-huh.
right? And you had this experience in Japan, yes?
Yes, that's right. So I think...
Then you had to incubate the experience. You had to figure out, how do I use this experience?
Yeah.
So how long did you incubate it, and what was the very first thing you did?
Okay, I see where you're coming from now. So the very first thing I did was I sat on an island in Hawaii for 2 weeks and realized that I am first going to be empowering myself in my lifetime, and I left my husband, which was an amazing thing. Again, I had never considered leaving that marriage, and I left him and came home to the United States penniless, jumped off the cliff with a whole spiritual directive, knowing that I was choosing life and that my whole life, even though I wasn't knowing how it was going to look, I jumped off that cliff and made a huge leap forward and was hugely supported through my higher state of awareness to accomplish that. I was a single mom, so I had a traditional job for the next 8 or 9 years and had a side of myself, my spiritual side, that I was developing. And I call it kind of like the awareness of developing the understanding of who's who in the zoo. What is the different aspects of consciousness that play through us? And I noticed that I could manifest things very quickly sometimes, and sometimes things would crash and burn. Sometimes I could do some extraordinary things, and sometimes I couldn't. So this is part of the incubation period, so to speak, of developing within my own world and my own life, going in and looking at all the different aspects of consciousness that play through us, and having understood them to be able to sort out then and say, all right, now that I understand the dynamics of how it works, then I can shift it. So at the same time, I was working very planetarily with some other groups of people with a lot of mathematical sequences and tones, working in a way that might not even be appropriate to talk about with this audience, but with planetary alignments and things called axiotonal grid lines and
grid work.
Pardon me?
Grid work,
absolutely. But this is universal grid work, not so much even the planetary. And after a nine-year sequence of understanding all of that, I had a transmission that occurred, and my whole life shifted at that point into more of an active service with my gifts. And I actually was sitting on my bed, and I had a very successful sales career at that time, which I, of course, applied all of my spiritual principles to. So I was very successful in the 3D world. And I was sitting on my bed, and I had a transmission come in from a light ship that was championed by beloved Master Sananda. And it was such a beautiful transmission that I didn't doubt it at all. It was something that made me weep. It was so beautiful. And the communication was just as clear as we're talking, and the communication said, no, you're ready to shift into the next phase if you should choose. It's time for you to leave your job, and we're going to be supporting you in the movement of getting your light work out into the world. So that's when I left the traditional 3D world after about, you'd have to add it up, I think it was like 9 years after that initial wake-up call, and getting comfortable in my own skin, my new skin, and so on. And then shifted out into the world to get my light work out. I've had a lot of different experiences in and around and through all that. I don't know if I'm talking too much. You want to break and ask me something, or how are we doing?
Well, Don, I'm kind of monopolizing this. Don, you have a question?
Well, it sounds pretty remarkable. I just love to hear these sorts of stories where people have had these spontaneous awakenings. I've heard them before. My brother was actually one of those. who had like an instant enlightenment moment. Kundalini, he calls it, because 3 weeks he was just in orbit. You couldn't get him to come down. But it changed his whole world. I love it. I hear this quite a bit. This is, you know, the beautiful thing of this story between you and I, and Aaron, that it's no longer rare. That it's this. That it's no longer rare. That it's.
You know, Don, you are muffling.
All right. Hold on. Let's see what we can do here. All right. How's that? Is that a little better?
That's great.
All right.
A little better, yeah.
Excellent. No, the beautiful thing about all this is that it isn't remarkable any longer. This is commonplace.
Uh-huh.
And that really, truly, in my heart, is what makes it all so worthwhile.
Yes. And, you know, I just love that comment also. And I do believe right now we're on another threshold leap of a huge evolution within humankind, and that even mainstream people that are not awake yet are going to be going through a huge leap within their...
They're going to be going through, I think, a lot of what many of the light workers have already had to deal with.
Yeah.
And it's going to get a little chaotic. I'm sure this next month's going to be a little crazy, and I think as we get into next year, it's going to be a little crazier yet. But in the end, it just shows that the craziness was always there, and now we actually get to have a look at it and throw it away.
Well, you know, I got a comment about that also, and we've all heard about the 100th monkey syndrome.
Yeah,
right. Okay.
Alive and well.
And so, what my truth and knowing is, and you know, please, audience, use your discernment and go into your knowing with everything that we're saying here. But what my truth is that in the beginning of this year of 2007, we actually hit a critical mass.
I believe
of
that.
People, and it's not a number of people, but it's a critical mass of a few of us light workers and awake and conscious people that have created a 51, being able to hold 51%, which is critical mass, of the fifth dimensional Christed energy.
I love the way you said that. Thank you. In fact, I feel that's exactly what's going on.
Yep, and that's,
you know,
why...
That's exactly what came through the caller rucker thing, that 51% was the critical number, you know?
Yep.
And I think we hit it, yeah.
And what's so exciting about this for the audience listeners here, to know the empowerment that is available to each one of you, that once we've reached critical mass, there's a principle called entrainment, and that means that the critical mass, which is the stronger force now, everything that is the lesser or the weaker force would be here in the world, anyone that's holding fear and all of the collapse that you see going on right now. All of that experience and consciousness entrains itself or moves itself up to the critical mass factor. It matches it. So we have a very, very fast moving flow here because we've reached critical mass, where every one of us are going to be required to be opening up our hearts and our communication to work with humanity in a very, very intense way. And I believe that many of us are feeling the friction, we're feeling the tension, we're feeling the symptoms of the energy. Maybe we might want to talk about that a little bit. I don't know if you want to get into that.
I think it's totally the energies are totally unusual. I was talking to Seth the other day with the people who work here, and I was also talking to my wife. I talked to her about it, and then Michelle, I think I explained it to her. But I would go to websites that are in French, Portuguese, Russian, and start reading away, and then by the time I get halfway down the page, I'll be staring at it saying, gee, I don't even know this language. And no, really, I'll have understood paragraphs upon paragraphs of it, and then I'll look at it and go, but how would I know what that means? How could I have just read that? Because the instant I realize that I don't know it, I can't read it anymore. Now I don't even know whether the information that I just read that I understood is even accurate to what I just read. And this has happened a few times, and I've had a few other people mention similar things. It's almost like there's so much information out there, good information, light information, and you can, I would almost have to say, drift in and out of it.
You know, the operative the operative thing here is to start accessing the part of you that can create from the other realms. You know, when you're in the physical and you look at the physical world, it just seems so overwhelming. You know, there's so many problems. There's so much hurt. There's so much loneliness. There's so much poverty. And it's like you look at it and you think of it in normal human terms and you say, what can I do? You shrug your shoulders and say, I better just take care of myself and make sure I can survive.
I don't think that's normal human terms, Wynn.
Well, you know, that is fairly, you know, at a lower common denominator.
Right.
It's a fairly common thing. I mean, people look at things. I mean, Don, you're living in a reality where you got 50 show hosts that are all exalted consciousness, and you talk to them all the time, and you know that is not that is your experience of your reality, which is, you know, not the same as, say, going out into the Hispanic section of L.A. and seeing those people, I mean, who consciously have no clue. Yet if a light worker walks down the street in those neighborhoods, they'll anchor energy, and that will change the vibration. And if it happens enough times, those people will uplift. But they're not going to get it at a conscious level where they can work it. Whereas another person can become a co-creator with the higher forces, so to speak.
Well said.
Yeah. And actually change the paradigm down here.
Well
so
said, yeah.
What we're looking for is to recruit those people who can do that, because that is the only, you know, it is like when a small group, like our conference call, let's just say I'm doing what I think I'm doing, on our conference call, we don't have that many people, 20, 30, 40 people.
Or
going
what she
in
thinks
and,
I'm doing.
In and out of it. But then we have these two group souls with billions of individual souls that are like supporting the energy of what we're doing. So suddenly, a small group has got this huge weight on the seesaw that can then start the reprogramming of the collective, you know, and actually initiate a change. And that is what we're all needing to do, to be able to operate from the highest creative part of ourselves, the part of ourselves that is on the border between the divine and the physical, and in which case it's the beingness of that added to the doingness of what we do, it becomes the bulldozer that works on the negative in this realm. And you do that. You do that with BDS. You've given so many people a venue to present themselves and present a higher consciousness. So, you know, you're doing your part in your way, and so are so many others. And I always think of the people that are listening that say, hey, but I'm not doing my part. What am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? And I would say, you know, first of all, look for people that are doing, and look at what they're doing. Feel the energy of their doing until you catch it by osmosis. Find the doingness out there.
I like the way you're talking, my friend. I mean, that is something that I've tried to hold near and dear for a lifetime. Folks, it's the doing that matters. That matters.
It's the being and the doing. If you do
well,
without
it's
being,
here in the physical, certainly true. But in the physical here, you got to take that transcendence information, or whatever you want to call it, that which you are, or that which you're bringing here, and you need to set an example by doing.
This goes back to Frank Sinatra, you know.
Frankie, old blue eyes.
Yeah, he was the first person to espouse this philosophy.
Well, no, I remember a song that was called "Do It Until You're Sick of It."
That's my song. No, it was Frank Sinatra was doobie 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 doobie.
So I'd love to make a comment, if I might, about
Hey, look, you're our guest. You can't make a comment. Go, go ahead.
I just love all of what you've had to say here, Wynn, and I have to say, with all of the private sessions, you know, I'm a workshop and motivational speaker and doing a lot of private sessions around the country, and I can't tell you how many people, and it's probably just about every person that's coming for an awakening through a session that doesn't ask me, what is my job in the world? What do I need to do? I feel like I'm not doing my job. Or I don't know what my job is, and give me some advice with regards to that. And
do you do readings?
Pardon me?
Do you do a form of intuitive type readings?
Oh, absolutely.
Well, you want to take a call? We probably have time for a call or two if you want to take one, or it's up to you.
We could in a minute.
And all right.
Could I just finish this one comment?
Absolutely, here? Absolutely.
I just think that it's just such an empowering thing for the audience to hear, is that, like Wynn was talking about, that we have to remember that when we open our hearts to love and simply be in that space of solidity, of confidence, of assuredness, playing with our kids, going out and basking in the beauty of the earth and honoring the earth and all of the people here, we become a vehicle then to download this amazing crystalline light that's coming in. And we're like little mini lighthouses. And when we hold our hearts in the state of peace, peace is the precursor to love. We cannot have love when we're not in a state of peace. So when we hold that inner state of love and peace, and then have an availability of an experience through that, that is first. And then the guides have often told me that not to focus on the chaos that's going around, not to focus on the drama, but to focus on what it is that you want. So we have, just like Wynn was saying, we have first an internal state of holding peace and holding love and getting into the feeling state of that. And then with whatever drama is going on around us, to not focus on that, to focus and place action, like you were so saying, Don. Yeah, it's an action-oriented world. Place action on those feelings of peace and love and beauty and support, and bring that sense of peace and love through the act of manifestation out into the world. So,
you know, if you hold the energy, like people always wonder, what am I supposed to do? And they think they're supposed to be the next Messiah, or some have to be
or even
a chiropractor.
Or even the next caller.
The next caller.
Who's already waiting?
We can do callers. Whenever you're ready.
But the big thing is that everyone is what you're supposed to do. This is my simplified answer. What are you supposed to do? You're supposed to take your life exactly how it is and realize that every day people are walking through your life, and those people who are in your life are the ones you're supposed to minister to and you're supposed to lift. You're not supposed to look for your special group that's outside of them. You're supposed to hold yourself and your consciousness. You're supposed to learn to hold it above anyone in your space, not above in a hierarchy, but above wherever their negative can't get to you. And you hold your positive energy in their space, and they will get it.
Yep.
Sooner or later.
I agree.
And so that's the simple answer. You don't have to change anything from where you are right now. You learn to use every circumstance in your life to lift to love. Good. We have a caller, right, Don?
We do. We have a caller. Caller, welcome to the Donna Wynn Show.
Hi. Thank you.
Pleasure to have you with us. All right. Do you have a question for
Lanaya?
Yeah, Lanaya or Wynn or myself? Or?
Yeah, sure. Well, I think you were talking about readings, right?
Correct.
And, you know, I'm working in a spiritual healing and teaching practice, and I guess quite frankly, we're doing good work, but we're struggling financially. And I just wanted to get any input in that, get any insights into that.
So is this my question? Am I on for this one?
You are.
Go ahead, Lena. You're our guest.
Oh, thanks. And tell me your name again. Do we have our guest on the line?
Yeah.
Tell me your name again.
Mike.
Mike. Hi, Mike. How you doing? Thanks for calling.
Very well. Thank you.
Okay. So you say you have you were a little bit fuzzy there. You have a spiritual practices, an office or that you do some work out of?
Uh-huh. Oh. With some partners, yep.
With some partners, good. Okay, so the first thing that I'm noticing is that you're a little bit stuck in your second chakra, okay, and I'm sure you understand about chakras, right?
Yep.
A lot of people don't realize that the second chakra is also our sexual identification chakra, but it also is our creativity center and...
My favorite chakra.
Hmm?
My favorite chakra.
The fun chakra. It's also the creativity chakra. So I would do a little bit of work not only with you, but your group, working with those lower chakras to just clear out and so on. And I'm sure that you have a.
You know what she's saying? She's saying you and your group are supposed to get together and have an orgy.
Actually, no, because that might keep you being stuck there if you're doing it for the wrong reason. You know.
How can you do that for the wrong reason?
Oh, that's a whole other subject for a whole other show, okay?
Linaya?
Leave that.
Linaya?
Yes?
Something came to me that I wanted to share with Mike, if I could.
Okay.
Now, Mike, the idea is to get out of the fear of survival and to get into very high service, okay? Now, if I was in your circumstance, what I would do, if I believed in my ability to do this work, then I would say, okay, I would go around and tell everybody, we're going to do a free session, the first session, and just keep doing that and put all your heart into those sessions so that you get your love into the space. It's better to have people coming in for free than having an empty office. And as you do that, you'll build an energy that uplifts. And if in fact you have techniques and abilities that will open people up, your reputation will spread, a certain amount of people will come back again, and you just do that until you get a flow. A lot of businesses do this. And, even not spiritual businesses, regular businesses. Why do, people do things for free to get people out there? Even Rite Aid. We're having a big sale. The first 100 people online get a free CD player,
And a Band-Aid.
What's that?
And a Band-Aid.
And a Band-Aid. Band-Aid. Thank you, Don. So, what you do is have fun. Just keep yourself busy and have fun. Because the worst thing you can do is sit there and think, woe is me. The phone's not ringing. The door's not knocking. Because the more you think that, the more you create that as your reality. You just make people beat a path to your door and give it all, whether they pay you or not. I mean, you can't do that, obviously, indefinitely. But
definitely understand. I guess the thing is we've been doing this for a while now, and it's just a matter of when is the tide going to turn, I guess.
Are you happy doing what you're doing? Are you happy? I mean, really, really joyous. Are you? There's that answer. Okay, you didn't even see. So maybe it's time to sit back and reassess it and say, what is going to give me that joy that I'm searching for, that real joy? And then you're going to find your path. The joy is really something that's a part of you, always has been, and you'll find it. I mean, it'll come to you if you really seek it. And again, it's all about you in that instance, because joy is something that really isn't anything other than, it's not happiness, it's just a state of being. And as far as working on something that you're not fully joyous about, you might want to revisit it and see what it is about that maybe needs to change or needs to be taken away, let go, or what have you.
I love that. And also that kind of cues into the message that I was getting also about all of you in the office there. Not just yourself, but everybody that works out of that office and is a part of your group, getting really clear about what it is that you want to accomplish, because I'm seeing that there are some conflicting, maybe not conflicting, that might be too strong of a word, but for everyone, get a staff meeting going and talk about where you would like to see the place go. And then right behind that, on the opposite side of the paper, if everyone were writing this down and then speaking about it, what are the fears or what are the obstacles that each person might have to creating those objectives? Because, you know, it's very easy to say, oh, yeah, this is what I want. Yet I'm feeling that there's a blockage. Again, this is where we're talking about that second chakra, creative flow, that there needs to be some discussion and some clearing out of what's playing out behind the scenes with the people in your group that might be blocking what it is that you want to create. And first of all, getting a really cohesive, concisive, you know, mission statement, perhaps, something like that, I think would be able to really open up the flow for you.
Cool. All right. Well, thank you all very much. Fantastic.
Thank you. Thank you for calling. Just,
okay.
Letting us drag you through the coals.
Hopefully we helped you.
100%.
Excellent. Remember, don't let anybody, you know, or anything take away your joy. You know, that's been heard on FM stations around. There was one guy named Paul who used to love to state, don't let anyone steal your joy. It's really true. Don't let anybody steal your joy or anything. I mean, you can be joyous in four walls with no money, going broke, and everybody starving around you. I can tell you that is a fact.
Yep. Okay. Thank you all very much again.
You bet.
Thanks, Mike.
Okay. Bye.
Hey, Don?
Yes.
It's 6:52.
It is 6:52. We got a few minutes before we got to end the show. So,
right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Should we do that now?
What do you think, Lenora?
Well, we could maybe, whatever you'd like to do, take another call or whatever. Would it be possible for me to give my website information if anybody
please.
Would like to contact
me? We don't allow any
LA.
Advertising on our show unless you pay for it in advance.
Both of us.
Oh, okay.
Teasing you. Go ahead.
Well, I just thought that I would mention I'm going to be down in L.A. I come down maybe once every couple months, and I'm going to be in L.A. from the whole greater L.A. area from the 2nd of August through the 22nd. And my schedule and more about who I am and what I'm doing is listed on my website. And that is higherawakening.com.
Higherawakening.com. I love that.
Yahoo.
She and I have brother and sister websites.
We do.
I'm higher-vision.org.
As a matter of fact, when I took that site out, I searched for Higher Vision, and it was taken. You got it before me.
Well, actually, I had to do higher-vision.org, and that was as close as I could get to it.
Yeah, I liked that, didn't I? That's a good site name.
You did.
So anyway. Well, so what else can we do in our...
Well, we were going to take... There have been a couple of callers, but I haven't put them on.
You know what?
Only because
Don,
we've got about a minute and a half.
Let's have Lenaya on again, because
sure.
You know why? She is good for us. You and I...
You're good for me.
Yeah.
I just heard that.
I would love...
We're going to have to get together, you and I.
I don't know. Are you cute?
No.
He's not cute, and he's married.
Oh, darn.
I'd have gotten to that eventually.
He has kids.
Well, that's a good thing.
Are you married, Linnea?
I'm single.
You're single?
Yes, I am.
No more rich bankers, huh?
Oh, no. No, I've dropped that one.
No.
So, lots of great friends, though.
Yes. Well, Linnea gives readings. She's coming to L.A., and giving a workshop. And Don, we'll have Linnea on again.
Love to, absolutely.
It's very rare that we find a guest that... We don't invite guests on our show too much.
Well, we get a lot of guests who want to be on our show, but we just don't engage them. We don't answer them or don't put them on. And I don't know. We just...
Well, the thing is, they're not in the right zone. You know what I'm saying? They're looking for exposure. They, you know, they have their little shtick, and they have no idea what we're talking about.
Right, right.
When we start talking about this other stuff.
Yeah.
So it's silly to have them on.
I agree.
Better for Don and I to fight for the hour.
And then pray.
Well, thanks. And you know, I'm just so so desirous to just help as many people as possible through sharing really great, empowering information, and I think you guys are great.
Oh, well, thank you, Lenora. Higher Awakening, right?
HigherAwakening.com.
Excellent. Bet. Well,
Lenora, we end our show with a group calling in of the light, so we would be honored to have you join us on that, and you and your contingencies. I know you have a contingency with you.
Fabulous.
And we're honored to have them work with us on the show. And, Don, you ready?
You bet I am.
Okay. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect Lenaya, Don, and myself, and every person that's listening to the Don and Wynn show tonight. And right now, we'd like everyone to release any negativity in their bodies, in their space, to the higher realms of light. Let it go to be transmuted and dispersed into higher realms of light. And we see ourselves, we're going to envision ourselves right now in this flow of energy radiating from the galactic center, which is sometimes called the Hunabku, this energy that has been known as Shakti, as Holy Spirit, as Prana. This energy is flowing through our solar system right now. It's flowing through the Earth's energy fields. It's flowing through our bodies right to the center of the Earth. And each of us listening is experiencing that flow of energy. Now, those of you who voluntarily, of free will, would like to go a little further, we're going to join our spirits right now. We are going to, like, take our energies that are on the other side, and we're going to, like, reach out to each other. Even though we're all over the world, we don't know where we are physically, our spirits are in another dimension where they can find each other. And we're going to let them find each other. And some of you can feel the energy of that. There's an amazing energy that happens when we bring our energies together in the other dimensions. Now, we're going to invite all those positive sources in the other dimensions, all those service to other sources operating in Christed energies, all those group souls to join our group. And they're going to join us in the other dimension. And we have this huge, big ball of energy that we're creating all over the world right now. And we're going to send this energy to some of the trouble spots, to the Middle East, to Washington. We don't have much time, so we're just going to make it fast. If you want more of this, come to my conference call on Monday at 6:30. This is the whole call consists of this kind of energy work. Right now, just bring that energy back to yourself through your own body. Radiate it to your home, to your family. And Lenaya, you want to add one sentence before we finish?
Namaste.
Namaste.
The God in me blesses the God in you, all of you.
Thank you. Thank you, Wynn. It's been another wonderful show, the Don and Wynn Show, folks. Stay tuned. Next coming up is Fred Bell's Health, Science, and Energy Show. You can catch us again next week, though, at 6 p.m. Pacific Time. And we're going to play a little music for you now while we get Fred and his guest on. So thank you again for tuning in. Wynn, God bless. Lenora, we love you.
Coming right back at you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Great,
lots of love.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
I love you.